Welcome to the Camden Nazarene Podcast. Camden Nazarene is an established church with a fresh vision located at 2276 Jefferson Davis Highway in Camden, South Carolina. We gather for worship each Sunday at 10:40 a.m., and you're invited to be our guest this Sunday.
Weeks, we've been realizing that perhaps there is a new checkpoint that we as a church need to be moving towards. The last few years now, you've heard the four words: gather, grow, go, and give. These are words that have kind of marinated with all of us. These are words that have given life. They have given us meaning for everything that we do. I've talked about them a lot with our ministry leaders, and we all understand that if it's not helping us gather, grow, go, or give, then we're just simply not interested in doing those things. And so I believe as we've been unpacking gather, go, grow, and give for the last few years, we kind of come to another point where we figure out, okay, what's the next checkpoint, if you will, in the life of our church. Our church is 74 years old, 73 actually, and there's been various checkpoints. There's been various seasons and chapters of our church, and they've all been great. They've all been good, but we have to keep on moving. We have to keep on moving forward. We have to keep on understanding that what's the next thing that the Lord has for us. And so, as we move towards the year 2020, we're just about a year and a half, or less than a year and a half from that, actually. We're looking forward to the Lord moving in certain areas of our church. We've talked about and how we want the Lord to move in our area of our church, the area of attendance. We want more people gathering with us. And of course, if more people are gathering with us, we want more people to be growing with us. And if we're growing, then that's going to compel us to have a bigger reach within our church, to have a bigger reach locally, what's going on outside of these four walls, and also to have a bigger reach on a global scale, not just by supporting what the Church of Nazarene is already doing, but hopefully we get to a point where our church, maybe we're adopting a world area somewhere, or a church in a different country. I don't know quite what that looks like, but I know that as more people gather with us, as more people grow with us, then the Lord would have us to have those people go and to give with us as well. And the thing is, we want to see the Lord also. We want to see Him move in the area of prayer. We want to see Him move in different areas within our church. And so the last few weeks, we've been talking about different things that are going to, I believe, going to help us get there. You've heard sermons on faith. You've heard messages recently about widows bringing in clay pots, and the Lord just continuing to fill those pots when she thought they had nothing. We've heard stories of what it is to not see the world through eyes of fear, but to see it through eyes of faith. And we ask ourselves not why, but we ask ourselves why not. And these are all intentional teachings and messages that we've heard to help move us, to help motivate us towards what I believe is our next checkpoint as a church. And you may think a lot of these predictions, a lot of these things that we're reaching for, you may think that they are bold requests. You know, when you hear me talk about having a Sunday morning gathering attendance of 170 and planning a church and having so many volunteers within our schools, you may think, wow, that's a pretty bold request, especially in a year and a half. I don't see how it's going to happen, but that's the point. They are bold requests. And you realize that if they're not bold requests, then we don't want anything to do with them. If we're just doing things that we can do on our own, then we don't need to be doing them. And so today we come to a teaching and our message where we're going to talk about the importance of prayer. And we've always been a praying church. There's no doubt about that. We were in Sunday school today, and we were talking about those who had mentored us, those who have maybe are responsible for us being here today, and a lot of the people that have been in this church for a while. They mentioned some names that some are still with us, some are still not. But one of the overarching themes was all of these folks, everyone talked about how they prayed. Everyone talked about, oh man, when we would start praying in the sanctuary, man, they would just start begin to pray out loud. So we've always been a praying church. So today, when I talk about prayer as an emphasis for our church, I'm not inventing anything new. I don't think I'm coming up here with some kind of cool, crazy idea. I mean, prayer has always been a part of our church, but at the same time, I want us to make sure that we understand that prayer, and prayer has to be at the center, at the core of who we are and what's going on here at the church, because prayer is indeed the catalyst for everything. It's a catalyst for everything. And so as we make these bold requests, as we talk about 2020 vision type stuff, man, it is indeed bold, and it is things that's going to require us to be totally dependent upon God when we ask of God these things. Speaking of requests, what's the toughest question you've ever had to ask? What's the toughest question you've ever had to pose to someone? For some of the guys in here, maybe it was that one time that you wanted to ask that girl out on a date. Maybe that was a tough question for you. Maybe once she went out on a date with you, the next toughest question was, how do I ask this girl to marry me? You know, that's a question that could come with a sense of nervousness or anxiety. It's questions that make us feel uncomfortable. Maybe for some of you guys, asking for a day off is kind of weird. You guys all, anybody have that one supervisor, that one boss where like, oh, I really need to ask for a day off, but I got to figure out the best way to ask that. I was listening to a podcast this week, and the topic was the art of negotiations. And the guest being interviewed was a former negotiator with the FBI. He was the top hostage negotiator. So if anybody was kidnapped, if any American was kidnapped anywhere around the world, he was the one that would negotiate their release. And it seems kind of like a tough topic, but he wrote a book, and he helps us realize that whether you realize this or not, you are in negotiations every day of your life. If you are asking a question of anyone, you are in a negotiation. And so he began to help the listeners. We kind of begin to realize how you say stuff and how you ask for things changes the situation. In fact, he gave the example: if you're at an office at a workplace, and maybe the supervisor is really really stressed, maybe a lot of people have been quitting, and you know that you need to ask off, and you're just really nervous about asking off because, man, they've already had two or three people quit, and you know there's a lot of pressure. He said, how you word that is going to change the outcome. And he gave the example. He said, what you need to do is you need to go to your supervisor and say, listen, I got some bad news. Now, with two or three people have already resigned, the supervisor is going to say, oh, man, not another quitter, not another resignation. And so you say, I got some terrible news, man. I don't know how to say this. Well, just say it. I really need to ask for 2 days off. Oh, I thought you were going to ask, you're going to quit on me. Yeah, take 2 days off. Man, go take 2 days off. Get some rest, you know. I mean, you kind of was a little manipulation there. But aren't you thankful that we serve a God who is other? We serve a God who is different than anything that we could imagine. And so you might say that prayer is asking or petitioning God. And while that's true, I'm thankful that we don't have to be creative in how we ask God. The invitation is to simply come and ask. We don't have to worry about negotiating or working an angle when it comes to praying to the Lord. We simply come. So as we move towards our 2020 vision, I'm drawn to this text from Paul's letter to the Ephesian church. I'm going to invite you to turn there, Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm going to be reading from the Common English Bible. It's a newer translation that I just was drawn to in my study. And like it the modern language is really going to help us understand, in essence, what prayer is. And we're going to just go through verse by verse as we look at this scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll begin with verse 14 here in a moment. But the Ephesian church was one of Paul's beloved churches. It was a church that was doing some things right. Most scholars would say that while the letter is indeed addressed to the Ephesian church, it was actually a pastoral letter that was really meant to be read by all churches, because it's like a how-to guide for church. If the book of James is kind of a how-to guide for your Christian journey, then the book of Ephesians is kind of a how-to guide for the church to be the church. And then what's going on here in the Ephesian church is you have Christians who have Jewish background, and because they have Jewish background, they seem to see the world a little bit differently than others. And then you also have Christians who have Gentile background. That means anybody else who wasn't Jew. And so they're all coming together to try and to form and to live together in this church. And so what we're going to see here is prayer. I don't believe prayer isn't just negotiating with God. But prayer is coming to God and asking God. And this is what Paul says, verses 14 and 15. He says, "This is why I kneel before the Father. Every ethnic group in heaven or on earth is recognized by Him." What that means is every family, every group, they all recognize, they all understand, it all comes from God the Father. And so Paul's biggest concern for the church at Ephesus was that Christians with Jewish descent would recognize that Christians who came from another descent would recognize that they are equal partners in this church, and that they would have unity, that they would come together, and they would realize that Christ did not come just for one group of people, but Christ came for the whole world. He says, every ethnic group in heaven on earth is recognized by Him. That means God doesn't see black or white. God doesn't see American or Syrian or Grecian or English. He doesn't see any of these things. God sees people that He has died for. God sees individuals who are in need of a Savior. And I love how Paul, he begins his prayer. And most translations are going to say, Paul, it'll say, "I pray that." But I love how the CEB puts in, "I ask that." He's going before the Lord. He's asking the Lord that these things would happen, these things would occur in your life. And so Paul begins this prayer with recognizing that God sees everyone in need. And so I believe that when we pray, when we ask the Lord, when we as a church, as we seek the Lord, His face and His direction, I believe that it's going to move us to mission. Prayer should move us to mission. Being on our knees, standing up with our hands up, whatever your posture of prayer is, if we are praying, if we are asking the Lord, it should move us to mission, because and mission is people. Our prayer life should be in such a way that we are moved to recognize that there are people outside of these walls who are in need of a Savior. You see, I'm convinced that through prayer, God is going to make our church what it should be. God, through prayer, will make our church what we've been called to be. And without prayer, we could not be the church that God's called us to be. You see, if we're just gonna do something on our own power, if prayer is not going to be the catalyst for all that we do, and if we're just going to rely on our own abilities and our own strength, then this is nothing more than just a social gathering. And I want to be more than just a social gathering. prayer is the catalyst. I don't want to, you know, there are other disciplines that are important to the Christian walk. I mean, Bible reading, scripture memorization, devotions, witnessing, serving, all of those things are important. But without prayer, without prayer at the central of your life, at the center of your life, all of those things do, all they do is make you good students. They make you a good person to reach out to people, to help them out. I mean, it's one thing, and I believe, I know our quizzers would agree with this. Man, it's one thing to memorize God's word from a very academic standpoint, but you realize that's not what they're trying to get these students to do. They're trying to get these students to know the word of God and through prayer for that word of God to apply to their lives. Because without prayer, without us prayerfully going before the Lord, we just memorize some words. But it's prayer that is this catalyst. It's prayer that it is this catalyst of saying, Lord, help me apply this. Lord, I've read your word. Lord, I know your heart. What do you want me to do with it? Speak to me. How do you want this to shape me? So prayer is a catalyst. He goes on in verse 16. I ask that he will strengthen you in your inner selves from the riches of his glory through the Spirit. So prayer helps us recognize the mission, but prayer also will prepare us for the mission. See, recognizing is one thing, but then we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to make his mission our mission. I mean, it's one thing to read that Jesus says, take care of the poor among you, feed those who are hungry, clothe those who are naked, love your neighbors. It's one thing to read that, but it's prayer that's going to help you make that your mission, to move you from that being God's mission to a place where God's mission is my mission. And that's why his prayer is that he will strengthen you and your inner selves from the riches of his glory through his Spirit. Paul prays for the Ephesian church that the Holy Spirit will dwell in their desires and move their desires towards others around them. And this is our prayer today. Our prayer as a church should always be, Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh on us? Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh into my heart? Would you renew me? Would you cleanse me? Would you purify my heart? Would you purify my intentions? And then he goes on in verse 17. I ask that Christ will live in your hearts through faith as a result of having strong roots in love. You see, as prayer prepares us for the mission, the key to this preparation is love. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes in and when he does a work in our lives, the main work that he is doing is filling our hearts with the love of God. Don't know how long you've been around the Church of the Nazarene, but perhaps you've heard this word called sanctification. To be sanctified, holy. And simply what this gift is simply us removing ourselves from the throne, from our throne in our hearts and replacing it with God, us emptying our hearts with selfish desires, with all the things that we want, all the past hurts, all that, and replacing it with the love of God, because it's the love of God that should be our chief motivation in our lives. So the key to preparation for the mission is love. It's love that's going to motivate us to go beyond these four walls. If as a church, if you're being asked to go to Jackson School and to read and to be a part of what's going on there, you're going to do it not because I told you to, not because Tammy asked you to. You're going to do it because the love of God has filled your heart in such a way that you feel moved and that you feel desired that should be your mission field. If you feel led to go and help with Love, Serve, Give, you're not going to do it because I asked you to. You may think that you are, but in deep down, what is motivating you should be the love that you have for the least of these. If you allow the love of God to come into your heart, to fill your heart, I'm convinced that the things, the hard things that God asked us to do, we can see ourselves doing those things. Because it's the love of God through His Spirit, through prayer, that is coming into our lives. We cannot do the work of the gospel unless it is the Holy Spirit that is dwelling and reigning with us. And then verses 18 and 19 says, I ask that you'll have the power to grasp love's width and length, height and depth, together with all believers. I ask that you'll know the love of Christ that is beyond knowledge, so that you will be filled entirely with the fullness of God. Entirely with the fullness of God. Our prayer lives should be a discipline, it should be an exercise in our lives which moves us to be entirely filled with God and His love. Not just going to an altar and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I recognize that I deserve death. I want you to come in. I want you to save me. Yeah, that's the first step. But at some point, we've got to recognize that in order to get beyond, in order to be the one that God has created us to be, we have to be filled with His love, filled entirely with His love and with His Spirit. Because that's what's going to keep us moving. So there's power in asking. There's power in prayer. So you say, how are we going to accomplish these things, Pastor? We're not going to accomplish anything. We're going to ask the Lord to move. And we're going to watch the Lord move. And we're going to be so filled with his indwelling Spirit. We're going to be so filled with His love that when the Lord moves, we want to move with Him. The Lord's moving across the street. We want to move across the street to reach people over there, not our building. Move, to go reach people. I like our building. If the Lord is moving in this area of town or with these group of people, we want to be so filled with His Spirit that that's where we want to be. So what have you asked the Lord for recently? That's a tough question. What have you asked the Lord for recently? Jesus reminds us of this in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. This is good news. The Lord's not asking that we negotiate with Him. He's not asking that we come in the back door. He's not asking that we try to find creative ways to try to fool Him into, as if that could be done, to giving in. Prayer is a simple exercise of asking the Lord. What does Jesus say? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. He's not talking about asking for riches. He's not talking about asking for a new car. He's not talking about asking for some selfish stuff. He's talking about, this is at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. He's talking about, man, all these things that I'm challenging you to do, all these kingdom things like loving your neighbor and loving your enemy and all this heavy kingdom stuff that you feel like is hard, all you got to do is ask. Pursue. Ask, and it will be given to you to seek, and we seek the Lord through prayer. So in our 2020 vision, yeah, I think we're asking a lot. But I believe the Lord is inviting us to ask. Through prayer, we will petition the Lord to help do the work that he has called us to do. So something new that you're going to see around here that will maybe help us corporately as we want to be a praying church. Starting next week, there's going to be a prayer room that's available to you before church on Sunday mornings. It'll be open as early as the building gets open. I think Larry gets here 7:45 or 8 o'clock. And so around 8 o'clock, the church will be open. The Sunday school classroom that's just beyond the finance office, it's going to be room 104, I believe. Donnie and Bobby's Sunday school classroom, that's going to be our prayer room. Maybe not all at one time next week, but you'll begin to see things in there that's going to help us pray. There's going to be scriptures on the wall. There's going to be things that will prompt your mind to be praying for things. And as I told the board, and I'm not trying to belittle any of this at all. This is going to be more than just a place to come and give your ailments to God. I mean, I know we all got physical problems, and we all want to pray for those things, and those are important. And we will have, but we also want to be praying for, Lord, how do you want to move this church? Lord, who do you want me to witness to this week? Lord, I'm praying for this service. I'm praying that whatever spirit of division that may be in that room on this day, Lord, I want you to break those chains. I want you to break those chains that would bind anyone from coming to the Lord. I want you to break the chains of past hurt. I want you to break anything that's going to keep us from experiencing the fullness of your glory in that service. I want people gathered in that room praying glory down, praying heaven down for what's going to take place on a Sunday morning. And you come and go as you want. There's no time limit. There's no program. You just come in and you begin to pray. You can pray scripture. They'll might have some music in there. We may have things running on the screen. We're still putting this all together, but I know next week I want to see it begin to get used. I would be even as bold to ask some people if you feel called. Maybe some of you feel called that at 10:40, instead of being in here, you're in the prayer room interceding for what's happening in here. You don't have to be there the whole time. Maybe we can take turns. Maybe someone can pray 10, 15 minutes at a time, and we take turns. And what would it look like if we are so committed and we believe so strongly in prayer that instead of being in here with all the good stuff happening, man, we're in the war room, if I can steal the line from the movie, we're in there praying and interceding for what is currently happening in this room. Some of you may feel led that way. I don't know. But I'm convinced, folks, that there is power in asking. And there is power in prayer. And y'all, I don't want this to be something that we just come and we do. This isn't a place where you come and you get entertained. You come and you hear some good singing and you feel good. You have all the warm fuzzies when you leave because, man, you got your Jesus thing on. You checked off the church thing off your list. I want it to be more than that. And the only way that it's going to be more than that is if God's people are on their knees in prayer, praying for what's happening here, praying for what's happening going on down the street. Hey, get this. I know this is crazy. We'll even pray for other churches. We'll even pray that New Directions, that the Spirit's falling over there, and we'll pray that Even have the Baptist Church, the Spirit's falling over there too. Because guess what? Man, we're all proclaiming the gospel. And you know what? There's 68,000 people in Kershaw County. So there's enough to go around. I'm not worried about Craig getting more than me or Hector getting more than me, because guess what? Man, there's enough. Souls, there's enough people in Kershaw County who need to hear the gospel that, man, we can fill all of our churches up twice over. Amen. That's right. So what are you asking the Lord for? This is how we're going to end. I'm taking a play out of the NYI playbook. You know, as adults, we always ask you, come here and pray, and just, you know, you kneel, and maybe you daydream. I don't know what goes on up here sometimes. Maybe you feel like you get lost in your thoughts, you know. But at youth camp, we try to be a little more tangible. And so it just kind of hit me. There's paper up here. There's pencils. What do you need to ask the Lord for? What do you need to ask the Lord for? Do you need a fresh dwelling of His Spirit in your life? Is there something going on in your life that you need healing for? A physical healing? An emotional healing? Are you asking the Lord to break some sort of financial burden or chain in your life? I don't know. But I think it would be helpful that over the next few minutes we just spend time asking the Lord. I don't know what you need to ask the Lord of or for, but you know what you need to ask the Lord about. Listen to how Paul ends this. Because you may be saying, oh, pastor, you don't know the questions I got. I got big questions. I got big problems. Guess what? I got some good news. Glory to God, who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by His power at work within us. You got problems? It don't matter. Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ever ask. Guess what? The Lord has power to do things even beyond what you even know to ask for. How about that for some encouragement? You got problems that you don't even know that you have yet. And His power is faithful for that. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus for all generations forever and always. So the invitation's simple. So music's going to be playing for a little bit. There's pencils, there's paper, there's pens in the racks. I would if this isn't your thing, maybe writing's not your thing. I'm just giving this an option. Those of you who just, maybe that's how you express yourself. Man, just write a letter to the Lord asking about some things. And you probably think I'm going to say, and leave it here, leave it at the altar. No, I kind of want you to take that with you, and I want you to stick it in your Bible. I want you to be reminded of the things that you need to be asking the Lord for in your life. So as the music plays, let's just come. Let's ask the Lord, whether on your knees, writing stuff down. We have the families first here this morning. I think the kids have been with me. So, kids, I mean, come in here and take a piece of paper. Draw something. Draw what you feel like the Lord, what you need to ask the Lord about. Put it in the words. I'm gonna hush. You just come as you feel led. I trust that you're able to spend time with the Lord and ask Him those things that you've been needing to ask. Maybe asking those questions that you've been fearful to verbalize. As we close, I want to invite you to turn to hymn number 275. I just felt like this is probably the best way to end this. And as we seek the Lord's guidance within our church, within our own lives, I pray that we understand that He's called to be Lord of our lives. Let's stand and let's sing verse 1, All My Tomorrows.
Thank you for visiting CamdenFirstChurch.org.